Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk. I think I
want to marry you. Yeah, did you need to choose between getting married or buying a home? Well, Bishop Dennis Nulty has said the decline in marriages in Ireland is linked to the housing crisis. He says couples are being forced to prioritise between one or the other. We want to hear your experiences on the show today. Did you have to choose between marriage or a mortgage? 087 1400 106, that's the WhatsApp number. Carl Dieter is the director with Irish Mortgage Brokers. Is that the reality, Carl, for many? Are they forced to choose between walking up the aisle or drawing down a mortgage?
Thankfully, I don't believe so. You've seen a decline in basically couple formation, people having kids later, staying in education longer. There's a lot of things happening where there's this societal shift. And rising house prices do have an impact, for instance, on fertility. There is a link between the number of children people will have and surging house prices. But the idea of getting married or not, I think, is one that is it's pretty profound. But, I mean, you can get married for cheap, too. You don't have to have, like, a big, massive shindig. So, like many things in life, your consumption choice that goes with it does have an impact on other things that you might do. So, you know, people used to get married quite young. Weddings were, you know, much tamer affairs than they tend to be nowadays. A lot less fanfare. People would have started to have families earlier. So I think people just, they do what suits them. They do what they want to do. But if it comes to a choice of being married or having a mortgage, a lot of people will go for the mortgage first because they want to get that out of the way. Mm. You know, make sure that they're happy living together too. Quite often it's a good test to see if you're meant to be together. And then at some point later get married. That's a really common thing.
Yeah, but does that not, to a certain extent, prove Bishop Dennis Nulty's point, though, that people are drawing down the mortgage before they're deciding to actually get married?
But I don't think they're doing it because it's like, we can only have one. I think that, well, look, in a world where you don't have endless resources, you have to decide what you do and when. Mm-hmm. But I think that they're prioritising the house together for the obvious reason is that if you go and spend a load of money, even if you're trying to apply for a mortgage on a wedding, that can actually adversely impact your mortgage application. And I think a lot of people say, look, once we have the house, at least then we've got that and we can plan other things in our life. So I think it's just a normal way that people react. I don't, like, even when house prices weren't insane, people were doing this. So, like, that bit hasn't really changed.
We want to hear listeners' experiences today. Stay with us, Carl. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. My own colleague, Laura's with me here on the line as well. Because, Laura, I mean, you kind of are in this position to a certain extent where a choice is to be made.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks, Emil, for having me. Yeah, I am. So at the moment, I'm living with my partner. We're renting at the moment. We're together 12 and a half years. We have a little two-year-old boy at home and another one on the way. So for me, it's kind of we're always joking. I'm always winding them up. I still haven't got a ring on my finger. But if he was to walk in the door and propose to me with an engagement ring, I'd probably hit him over the head with it because realistically, we need that money to buy a house. We are kind of saving every penny that we have to buy a house. So it is kind of, we are putting that wedding on the long finger because we need to buy a house. We want to be able to get married, move into our own home, have something that's ours, and be able to kind of afford the wedding that we want as well. So it is, you do prioritise a mortgage over a wedding at the moment.
Yeah, so when you're sitting down and looking at the list of priorities, it's getting the deposit together for the house. That's top on the list, is it, Laura?
That's top on the list, yeah, like that. Every time a paycheck comes in, the money's straight into savings to try and get it towards a mortgage. And even at that, no matter how many pennies we pinch, we're still nowhere near closer to getting a house at the moment, just with the price of housing and things like that. So, like, I'm at the stage now where a few of my friends have their houses. They're in that fortunate situation. They're engaged now and they're looking to get married. And me and my partner will be together a lot longer than those couples, but we're just not at that stage. So it's just, for us, it's just not feasible.
So do you agree then with what Bishop Nulty is saying? That, you know, that this is due to the declining marriage rates, the housing situation that people find themselves in?
Yeah, I probably would agree with them there. Like that. There's one thing as well, like, my parents, thankfully, are in great health and everything is good, but I would always love to get married young and have my whole family there, have my partner's parents there, have my parents there. And I suppose the delay to getting a mortgage, you're delaying your wedding, you're almost delaying the inevitable of, oh God, will everyone be around to see me walk down the aisle, to have my dad give me away, different things like that. So there is, as much as I would love to get married, and I'd get married tomorrow if I could afford to, but if reality is if he was to come in the door with an engagement ring, as happy and all as I'd be like, bring it back, we'll get the house first and we'll sort the wedding out down the line.
And look, yeah. I know Carl mentioned, look, people obviously know what they want for their big day, but like as Carl said, you know, people don't have to spend a fortune getting married either. Like, I mean, people can do it on a tighter budget if they really want.
Yeah, well, that is true. And I suppose, like, you could look at it that my partner's not big into weddings himself. He always says to me, he's like, I'll get into the registry office with you tomorrow and we'll get married. He's no problem with that. Whereas I think for maybe it's just me being a typical girl and a typical bride, I'd love to have the nice dress. And I suppose not even a massive wedding. I wouldn't even want hundreds of people at it. But you'd want the day to be special. You're celebrating your kind of time together. You're celebrating growing up, meeting each other. But like, we're like that. We're together 12 and a half years. You want to celebrate that from growing up together to getting married and having that big day. And it is a big celebration. But I do agree, like, it doesn't have to be a massive thing, but you shouldn't have to scrimp and save every penny on it as well just to sign on that dotted line.
Broadcaster Fionnuala Moran is with us here, Laura, on the line as well. You bought before you got married, Fionnuala, didn't you?
Absolutely. I wouldn't have gone near the wedding until we had the house bought. And in many ways now, I feel like the mortgage is the millennial marriage. Like, it's a far longer term commitment.
Well, arguably, it is a bigger commitment, I suppose.
But this is it, like, legally and everything with the bank, like, locking in for however long you're locking in for. But yeah, like, I just think it's such a tricky, tricky expense to justify if you don't have that space to live together first. I think with Carl was saying, it's a good test to live together anyway, which I totally agree with. But yeah, just a massive big party that you get to enjoy for a day or two, whatever way you do it, is going to set you back. I think the average is about 35k, 40k in Ireland. It's so steep. I couldn't imagine going for that without having a house locked in, just when the bank are going to be looking at all of your expenses. And weddings do drive us deranged in our expenditure, even if we're trying to keep us on the straight and narrow. So yeah, just getting the house first, absolutely a priority for us.
So you made that decision. The house deposit had to be gathered, the house had to be purchased and bought, and you guys living in it, Fionnuala, before you decided to actually go ahead with the big day.
Absolutely. I really couldn't have looked to have that party and then go back to our respective box rooms and our parents' house. Now, we're in the lucky situation where our parents both lived in close enough proximity to Dublin, where we were working, that we could live at home while we were saving up until we could buy the house. But yeah, it's just not an expense I'd be looking at. It's a lovely extra when you're that little bit more settled, I think, to have the big party, have the big celebration, bring everyone together and just enjoy your love story. But just before we had our own space to be doing that in, it wouldn't have been something that we would have looked at all.
Yeah, Ray Cook is with us, Fionnuala, too. Do you notice this as an auctioneer, Ray? Like, is Bishop Nolte right? Is the decline in marriage rates due to people trying to buy the home first?
Yeah, like, we looked at the stats there when I got a call this morning, and this year alone, 64% of our purchasers this year are first-time buyers. 3 out of 4 of them are not married. So that's very high. But
yeah.
To be honest, like I said, it's quite normal going on last year and the year before as well. So it would be high there. So I just think it comes down to people have a choice, you know, get on the property ladder quicker and let the equity build so they can go off and buy a bigger family home down the line when their family grows. Also, weddings are expensive. They're massive money. Like, you know, if you're organising a band for something, it's €1,000, but as soon as you mention it's for a wedding, it's 2,500, you know, or 3,000 nowadays. So I think, like, I know a friend of mine that got married recently, and they wouldn't be, you know, they'd be normal couple, and I think it cost them over 40,000, you know, and that wasn't including the honeymoon. So I think prices have just gone ridiculous now for weddings. But I think when young couples look at it now, you know, if they're renting, you know, a lot of our buyers, again, talking to them, they've moved home or they've moved into the in-laws, the two of them. And obviously it's more difficult if you have kids, but they're moving home to make that sacrifice. And if they go off and spend that 40,000 on a wedding or 35,000 or 50,000 on a wedding, they're not going to make it back. The old fashioned way would have been, oh, you'll make your money back on a wedding day. You're not making it back.
The meal should cover itself.
It used to, but it doesn't anymore. So I think people have young people have caught on to that. They're also, I think as well, they're moving in together as well to make sure that they can live together as well before they get married. I think that's a big thing there as well. And I think that's the right thing as well. But it's a sensible thing to do as well, because the sooner they get on the property ladder, you know, any money they're paying, any mortgage, they're paying down debt. They're building equity in the property. And it's future-proofing them for down the line.
Just give us those stats, Ray, that you mentioned yourself, just from looking at your own clients. So three quarters.
So just this year alone, okay, so out of everyone that has bought a property off us, 64% of them were first-time buyers this year. And three out of four of them were not single, but we're in a relationship together, but they weren't married.
We're buying the home together. So there you go. So it is the case. And just to give you a flavour of some of what our texters are saying today, I wish that we had chosen a house instead of a wedding, of a big day. We did both. We ended up in massive debt. It put massive pressure on our relationship and family planning to start with, says this texter. Another listener says, I personally know three people that want to buy their house before they'll get married. And Carl is right. It's the impact then on the mortgage application that is actually making people wait. Another listener, 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. They're 43 years of age and they say, I don't know anybody who has gotten married first and then went to seek out a mortgage. This listener tells me the price of the wedding has gone through the roof as well. Ray's right about that. I don't know why you wouldn't prioritise a mortgage over a wedding. Saoirse Hanley, journalist, is with us here on the programme as well today. Is getting a mortgage more important than getting married, Saoirse?
Well, it's funny, I kind of feel like I should really be booking up and doing something because I'm currently saving for neither. But I think it's funny, my boyfriend and I have been together a long time, and I think a priority that both of us would have would probably be to throw a wedding before we buy a house. But that's purely because we haven't really thought about the house buying. I couldn't tell you where it would like to be, what it would be. I haven't really thought about that as much. But I think we'd be outliers even in our friend group. I mean, certainly one couple in the group bought a house last year and they are not engaged, not married. That was definitely the priority first, was to buy their house and just get sorted that way. I think it is partly because like that, you know, they were living in different counties. One was living at home, the other wasn't. And then I have another set of friends who are actually somehow managing or trying to do both. They're, you know, getting married and also trying to buy a house in the next couple of years. So I think there's a real mix of it, but definitely I think within my friend group, there's probably a lot more of a focus on getting a house first. And that could be because they're living at home. It could be because they want to. When it came to moving in with my boyfriend, it wouldn't have occurred to me to do that by way of buying a house first. Because to me, that seems like an even bigger commitment than getting married together. But I think being somebody who maybe thinks about the wedding first is probably puts me into, you know, certainly and definitely even by the data that Ray was mentioning, like in the minority, because I do think people are, I just think the housing situation is just weighing on a lot of people. And if you're lucky to find somewhere to rent that you can afford, you know, you might be able to have the wherewithal to think about things like a wedding instead. I'm in that position where I like where I live. I was lucky to find it. We like our apartment. It does exactly what we needed to do. So we can have the space to think, okay, well, what if we wanted to have a wedding instead? Whereas I think if you're in a more precarious situation, of course your mind is going to turn to, well, I'm going to buy a house. And obviously it's easier to do that as part of a couple largely. So you're going to just kind of have that be the default. And as you know, others have said already, like, I think compared to certainly my parents' generation, like we sort of had to get married first. It was definitely the first step before you did anything else. Whereas now we don't really seem to care about that as much.
It's funny though, Fionnuala, because, you know, a lot of the texts here are even making the point that the Irish weddings have just become totally over the top. People are spending so much money on them. Like, I mean, people talk there about 35 and 40 grand and up to 50 grand in some cases in a wedding. Like, it probably does seem a bit nuts to fork out that money when you don't have a home.
And that was exactly the angle that we were coming at it, because it's essentially a deposit for a house, and houses just seem to be getting more and more out of reach as well, especially when we were buying two. So I think for us, it was just to get in and get on that ladder now, because you don't know what that's going to look like. And then with the wedding, you have much more control over what you do and don't spend. You can filter out a lot of the extras. You can do it much more sustainably. Like we were saying earlier as well, you could just head down to the civil registry office as well. You can do it whatever way you want to do it. You could elope and leave everyone there and not have to pay for anyone else's dinner but your own as well. But it's just with
with the house, there is that little bit less control. But again, for us as well, it was, yes, we were really wanting to have that massive party, but it is something we're only going to get to enjoy for those 2 days. Whereas the house, we get to enjoy that life together every single day. So that was why we prioritise that spend first.
Emails lunchtime live at newstalk.com. Sarah's on the line. Sarah, what's your experience?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So I have a few different things about the engagement and the mortgage. First of all, with the mortgage, me and my partner lived in a four-bedroom house with six people. One bedroom has an ensuite, and then there's only one other bathroom, which is shared between four or five of us. So, like, that's not easy. The kitchen, share the kitchen, everything, it's really not easy. But, like, we're all doing it to, there's couples in the house, including me and my partner, but we're doing it to save for the mortgage. But I think as well, it's not just about the wedding. Like, the money you could spend on the ring can go towards the mortgage. So me and my partner have discussed getting married and the wedding and stuff. And we don't care if the wedding is going to be in 5 years or 10 years or whenever it is. But, you know, the engagement, the commitment of that, we would like to have that, but we can't because we've just said we'd rather that money to go towards the deposit of the house or even to be paying, you know, the broker, the banks or the person who's going to come in, the valuer of the house and all this kind of stuff. You know, there's so many other little bits before that. So even pushing the cost of the wedding aside, that money that can go towards the ring can go towards the house. And it takes away a bit of the surprise of the engagement because, like, he has said to me that, you know, he wished he could propose to me and that, you know, obviously it's something we have spoken about. Yeah. But that's taken away from the surprise. And I'm not the first person. I have a few friends as well who've said, oh, we are going to get married, but we're going to get the house first and then he's going to propose.
So that's
so
the
it's taken away from a lot of people. Yeah, but even the surprise of, like, you know, I think before there was more of a random surprise. You didn't know that they were going to propose, where there are so many of my friends and family now who know, oh, they're going to propose after we get the house. So it's kind of pushed away a little bit of the surprise as well.
And Sarah, just go back for a moment there. And so you're living in it's a rental house share scenario, is it, with your partner and other couples?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, there's six of us in a four-bedroom house.
Six of you in a four, yeah. So two couples, yeah, and then two other single people.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. And one of the, I'm not going to say now where the house is or anything, but one of the rooms were actually a dining room that's just been converted. So technically it's a three-bedroom house with a dining room and the sitting room. The fridge that we have is a half fridge freezer. So we have two shelves and a drawer to share between between six people.
And how long are you in the rental, Sarah?
So we've been going out about 5.5 years. I wouldn't, because we had to move up to Cork because of work and stuff. We're both from Kerry, but I kind of didn't want to move up because we just didn't think it was possible. You know, it was just too difficult. But we said, look, we can't afford to rent somewhere ourselves, so we'll go and live in the house together. So I moved in with him in his house, and we're there. Like, he's there the last 6 years, I'd say, living with others, and I've been there the last year or so.
So you did know the people. He obviously knew the other tenants in the house, but I'm sure it sounds difficult, Sarah, too. You know, I know it's the reality for many of our listeners, but you know, it sounds like it's still a tough enough situation.
Oh, it is, because sure, I mean, there's only one kitchen for us all. So if you want to go cook your dinner and you're coming in from work at 5 or 6 o'clock and everyone else is coming in at the same time, you have to wait. You mightn't even get to cook your dinner. You might have to go out and buy dinner out because there's other people in the house that want to cook. And they're lovely people. Like, there's nothing, you know, we get on very, very well together. I'm very lucky to live with the people I do live with, and they're so clean and everything. But it's just really difficult with those things, just to kind of, oh, you want to go for the shower, but someone else in the shower, or the other shower's on, and that will flip the switch. So you're kind of waiting to take your turn, or like that, just cooking. The kitchen is teeny, so even to go down and eat, most people just eat in their bedrooms, or else you have to go out and eat, because you just can't cook in the kitchen. Yeah. It's so small, and if someone's already cooking a meal there, you can't go in and cook with them. There's
But
even as you say, in a half fridge between six of you as well. Do you mind me asking, Sarah, just even roughly what kind of age bracket you're in?
So we're in our 30s, and there's other people in the house in their 30s as well, and some just in their late 20s.
Yeah.
But we're all in our 30s, and one fell in the house. He went away for a while to go to Australia to try and make a bit of money and stuff. He came back to the house again, but I think we're all kind of, I know so many other people who are in the same boat or who even lived with their parents for so long just trying to save for the mortgage. Like, it's really, really difficult to try and save for a mortgage. And that's just for the deposit and to show that you can save.
Yeah, and it really sounds, to be fair to you, Sarah, like yourself and your partner are doing everything, you know, you can, saving every penny. And do you feel you're making any inroads in that?
Thankfully, we are. We're good. Hoping to go for it now in the next 2 months or so.
Yeah,
but
brilliant.
It's like that, even living with people, you just want to get out of the house. So even going for a coffee, and like we were trying, we're like, look, we'll cut down going out for coffees and stuff. But when you live in a house with that many people, you want to get out of the house as well. You don't want to be eating in your bedroom every day. And, you know, you just want your space. So you have to go out and spend that extra bit of money just going out for a cup of coffee or something simple, you know.
Well, look, Sarah, I really appreciate you getting in touch and you know, sharing your very real experience of your own and your partner's rental situation at the moment, and hopefully, you know, you will get summer and get a house down the line. But look, I do really appreciate you getting in touch with us on the programme today. The email, if you want to share your own experience, is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. We'll leave it there for the moment. We will come back to this, though, later today. Carl Dieter, Ray Cook, Laura and Fionnuala Moore, and Saoirse Hanley there as well with us, and Sarah.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.